Good evening. Recently, I was reading the book of Acts. It is a fascinating book about the early church history. And in the fourth chapter, I come across the character Barnabas. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement or son of consolation. This evening, I would like to share about the subject, encouragement, what I learned, and about Barnabas and his contribution to the early church. What is encouragement? The Greek word for encourage, translated in our Bible as comfort, console, or counsel, and challenge. So the word encouragement has twofold emphasis: to comfort or reassure or strengthen a person, or challenge a person from the Word of God so that that person may be motivated to lead a more profitable Christian life. Who needs encouragement? I believe all Christians at one time or another needs encouragement. But at least I can think of four groups of people within the church who especially needs our encouragement and support. First, those are in distress or passing through difficult times because of sickness, different problems in their family life or personal life. It is good that we meet them, talk to them, encourage them in the Lord. Second group of people are those who contribute their time and ability to the ministry, various ministries of the church. For example, Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders, youth leaders, pianists, organists, of course, trustees, elders, all those people need encouragement and our support. Also believers taking other responsibilities in the church. Third group of people are those are new believers. They need our special support and encouragement. That's why Apostle Paul often returned to the new churches he had established to meet them and spend time with them so that they will go on strong in the Lord. The fourth group of people are those we see only Sunday morning. They have no other involvement in the church. It is better we meet them, try to meet them at least, talk to them, and try to involve them in the assembly activities. Now, who gives encouragement? It is interesting that the Greek word encouragement, or its noun form, encourager, used for all three persons of the Godhead. More than once, we can see that word encourager or encourage used for the God the Father. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, a very familiar verse for most of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Hear that word translated as comfort. The God of all comfort. The same word for encourage is also used as a title for Jesus Christ. It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2. Sorry. Yeah, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here, Jesus is called our advocate or our counselor or our defense. The same Greek word used here, encourager, it is literally means one called alongside to counsel us, to encourage us. And here, Jesus Christ is our counselor to represent us before the Father. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, two verses, let me read 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation, note that word, consolation, and good hope of grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Or we can translate it as Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved us, given us eternal or everlasting encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and work. Now the same word encourager is also applied to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. It's all familiar verses. John chapter 14, verse 16, we read that, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever. The NIV translation puts it counselor, to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is called our counselor or comforter. The Greek same word you use there, the encourager. The Holy Spirit has been always with us and abide with us forever to assist us in every way. So the triune God is a great encourager, the one from whom we receive comfort, support, and love in our daily Christian life. He is the God of all comfort. He is our advocate, and he is our counselor. Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, comfort each other and edify one another, or encourage one another and build one another. As believers, we should encourage one another and build up one another. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians, which one verse we read first. Same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 onwards. If you read that five verses up to 7, 10 times that word's used. I'll read three verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound through Christ. In the three verses itself, six times that word used. And Paul says that, comfort one another. He says, God comforts us so that we will be able to comfort others. In Hebrew chapter 10, verse 25, we read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So your very presence here this evening is an encouragement for me. The Bible gives us many examples in this respect. I would like to bring to your attention at least two. The first is from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me read first 8 verses. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do it to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. You know the background of this story. When Queen Isabel learned about the victory of Prophet Elijah on the Mount Carmel, defeating the prophets of Baal, she decided to kill him. And Elijah is running away for his life. We may wonder how that can happen. Who stood boldly in the Mount of Carmel and stood for God against all the more than 400 prophets. He was alone against 400 prophets of Baal. And God do wonders that day. But on the word of that Isabel, he is running away, discouraged himself, and saying, it's enough, God. It's a good example of human nature. This shows how weak we really are. One day we will be on the mountaintop, the next day we are down, discouraged, probably by a comment of our fellow believer or even a friend. Here we can see how God sent his angel to encourage his servant, not once, but twice. Another example I want to bring to your attention is 1 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 14 onwards, I'll read a couple of verses for connection. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Sifa. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. This is a beautiful story of support from a friend in time. Here David was running away from King Saul for his life. The King Saul was after David to kill him because of his victory over Goliath. David was more popular than Saul, King Saul. The women of Israel sang a song saying that Saul king 1,000 and David 10,000. And because of the jealousy, Saul decided to kill David. And here we see he is running away into the wilderness with a small group of people. And one day, he had a surprise visit from the prince, the son of King Saul. And we read here, King Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God, or he strengthened him. I'm sure Jonathan's presence and words must have been great encouragement for David at that difficult time in his life. Sometimes we do not realize how much it means, a phone call or a card or a visit by us to someone who was or who is in distress, who is in trouble, or who is in difficulty. It can encourage and lift up their spirit at such times. Here we see Jonathan encouraged and strengthens David by his visit. When we come to New Testament, there's no doubt Apostle Paul was a great encourager. In Acts chapter 14, we can see after starting several new churches on his first missionary journey, Paul returned to many of these churches like Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. These new believers need Paul's encouragement. In Acts chapter 16, verse 40, we can see when Paul left Philippi, he comforted the new Christians there. In Philippi is where Paul was beaten up and put in prison. We would think the believers in that place should have been comforting Paul. But we read that it was Paul who did the comforting of the new believers there before he left the place. And the same thing happened in Ephesus also. When the riot broke out, the servants of Artemis or of Diana felt their business threatened by the preaching of Paul. They tried to kill him. But at the end, he escaped and was leaving that place. Before that, he called all the disciples and encouraged them. We read that in Acts chapter 20. In the book of Acts, there is one character, as I mentioned earlier, who stands out in the act of encouraging others. That person's name is Barnabas. We can take a little closer look at his life. We can learn some good lessons too. He was not well known like Paul or Peter, but he was greatly used by God in the early time of the church. He helped and encouraged people so much. He was given a new name by the apostles as a son of encouragement. His name is Barnabas. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite from country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the first name of Barnabas was Joseph or Joses. He was a Levite from Cyprus, from the priestly tribe. He had a land there, and he decided to sell the land and bring the money to apostles' feet. In Acts chapter 11, Dr. Luke describes him as a good man, full of Holy Spirit and faith. I think Barnabas was a good man because he was ready to sell his property and bring the money to help the needy people in the Jerusalem church. During that time, there were a lot of poor people in that church. And Barnabas was ready to use his property for the needy people in that assembly or in that church. I believe he showed what he preached in his life. Acts chapter 11. Let me read two verses from there. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 and 30. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. There one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I believe under the leadership of Barnabas, the church learned to help other believers in need. We can see that they are sending that money, collected the money, and sending through Barnabas for the help. In Acts chapter 9, we can see how Barnabas introducing Apostle Paul or Saul to the believers in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. When Paul arrived in Jerusalem for the first time, following his conversion, the local Christians were reluctant to welcome him. They thought his story was a trick to capture more Christians. Only Barnabas was willing to risk his life to meet with Paul, then convince the other believers that Paul was a true believer. Sometime I wonder what might have happened to Paul if Barnabas was not there, who brought him down to the believers in Jerusalem. When the church of Jerusalem heard about the work in Antioch, we see that in chapter 11, they sent Barnabas to encourage and establish them in the Lord. We can read that in chapter 11, verse 19. Let me read that. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to them, to the Hellenites, preaching the word Jesus, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with the purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus and seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Here we have an account of the planting of the church in Antioch, main city of Syria. The first preachers of the gospel in that area was the Christians of Jerusalem, who were scattered after the death of Stephen, or after the persecution there. We read in verse 23, they sent Barnabas to that church. When he came and seen the grace of God, Barnabas encouraged them in the Lord. In verse 25 we read, Barnabas went to Tarsus and found Saul and brought him to Antioch. Barnabas realized that Paul's ability to teach and preach the word of God. So he brought him and introduced to the Antioch church, and giving the responsibility to teach there. We read both of them spent 1 year there teaching and establishing that church. In Acts chapter 13, when we come to chapter 13, we read Barnabas moved Paul to the forefront of the leadership. 13 chapter, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, Holy Spirit said, Now separate me and Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Here we have a divine commission to Barnabas and Saul to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. This is the first missionary trip Paul and Barnabas. We can see that Barnabas took Paul with him, and both of them preaching the gospel in that area. And slowly, Barnabas moved Paul to the forefront of the leadership role. When we come to chapter 15, we can see Barnabas stood firm against false teaching. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then later you can see the church sent Barnabas and Paul to Jerusalem. Barnabas and Paul took a strong stand against this false teaching that Gentiles must undergo circumcision in order to be saved. Salvation has always been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by any works. In order to resolve this issue, you can see the church of Antioch sent them to Jerusalem. And the apostles later, if you read further down, they had a council together. They discussed this matter and agreed with Paul and Barnabas. Probably during this time, Paul wrote the epistle of Galatians. And Paul wrote very strongly against the gospel of work. And he's strongly defending the gospel of faith. Another interesting character of Barnabas, in same chapter, verse 36, he stood up against Paul to defend the young John Mark. Verse 36, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." John Mark left Barnabas and Paul after they had visited Cyprus. We do not know what is the reason. When Paul suggested to Barnabas that they should visit the churches again in Cyprus and Galatia, Barnabas insisted on taking John Mark with them. And Paul refused. And we read that they had a big argument between them and they separated. In verse 39 we read, "Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." Though it was a sad incident, Barnabas was ready to give John Mark a second chance. The result was John Mark was greatly used by God later in his days for the glory of God. We know that later days Paul and John Mark were reconciled. While Paul was in prison in Rome, we know that John Mark was with him because he sends greetings to the church in Colossae. And also in Timothy, when he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes that is his second imprisonment. Get John Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. We can learn a good lesson from this incident. When we seek to resolve any issues or conflicts among believers, our goal always should be building up the body of Christ. Barnabas is a good example for it, because he was willing to give John Mark a second chance. And John Mark was greatly used by God later. Because of Barnabas' encouragement, Paul was able to write almost 13 epistles to the believers. Also, John Mark wrote the second gospel. Here's something remarkable. Barnabas never wrote a book, nothing we find in the Bible. But he encouraged two men who wrote over almost half of the New Testament. Let me conclude here. There are times in our life when we all need encouragements. Let us encourage one another to lead a useful Christian life and continue in Lord's service. Let me conclude with a verse from Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. One of the best ways to get rid of discouragement is to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Whatever is happening in your life now is not going to last forever. The most thrilling truth for a believer is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It should give us great hope, and also we should be more diligent for the Lord Jesus Christ in our walk with him. Close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to look into thy word. We thank you, you are a great encourager, you are a great comforter in our life. Father, we pray that help us, that we will be encouraging others so that they will be able to lead a more profitable Christian life. Help us in our daily life so that we will be useful for the Lord in the coming days. Now send us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.